Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Actually, good afternoon for those of you not in California, where my guest is. Today is October the 18th, 80 degrees here in the Mid-Atlantic. Look out, winter. This is Content That Moves the Needle, home of the 401k Study Group. I am Chuck Hammond, your humble host for the day, and my guest is Mr. Jeff Nordine. Jeff is a certified financial planner and has been in the investment business for more than 20 years, but now he is the founder of Core Financial Concepts, and he is here to chat with us today about money, stress, and financial wellness during our Fall into Financial Wellness series. So, Jeff, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning or good afternoon, Chuck. Doing very well. It's not 80 here, but we're having a bit of a warm streak out in Northern California, so we're probably going to hit 70 today.
Well, I'm glad that everybody is experiencing a decent fall. So, Jeff, I sort of didn't give a lot of credit to a more than a 20-year career, so if you'd like to add a little bit of color to who you are, what you do, and how you got here, go right ahead. I'm sure the folks would love to know how you went from being a, you know, private banker to doing fee-only financial wellness with no product or carrier ties.
Sure. Happy to give a quick overview. As you said, I spent a career in what I'll call loosely financial advisory, and worked with private clients on everything from their investments to their taxes, insurance, financial planning, estate planning. Stepped away from that career for a little while and yet continued to get questions from family and friends and colleagues about everything from, hey, my 401k, I'm uncertain about the options in there and what I should be doing with regard to my retirement savings, to, gosh, you know, we had a child and feel like we should be doing something different with regard to our planning, to, hey, maybe we have, one of us has stock options as part of our compensation and we're completely unsure of what they are and how to think about them. And really the final straw, or the tipping point for me, was a 30-year-old college graduate professional individual that said, hey, Jeff, you used to do this stuff. What's a bond? And I knew at that point, Chuck, that this is an epic fail on, an indictment, if you will, of the American educational system, and that we don't teach fundamental financial knowledge in high school. We don't teach it in college. And so I founded Core Financial Concepts based on two principles. One was that we were going to be education only, so all we do is financial education, don't have any products or services for sale, we don't want to manage your assets, we don't sell insurance, we don't provide financial planning. And second, we'd be independent, and so we're 100% independent from any bank, broker-dealer, insurance company, investment manager. So again, in a nutshell, we're out there trying to help folks become better educated and get better financial knowledge.
Well, Jeff, thanks for going into that. I want to make it important that everybody knows that, you know, over the course of the last few weeks and especially the last month or so, this topic of financial wellness has come up a lot, not just in the podcasts I've been doing, but I was also recently at the XL 401k conference, and we did a panel discussion on financial wellness, and the room was full. It's the second year in a row for the panel, and that just goes to show that a lot of advisors are struggling, or this is a challenge, not just from the 30,000-foot level, but to the implementing level. And, you know, my whole rationale about the podcast, about the panel was, is wellness lipstick on a pig? Is financial wellness just another one of those industry F words that we need to be talking about, or does it have merit? So I want to sort of start at the beginning so that way we can go forward. Jeff, you know, in your experience, there are a lot of definitions out there about wellness and financial wellness, but when you're out there and you explain it to a plan sponsor or an employee or a participant, how do you explain it to them, and what's maybe a different way or a more accurate way or even your way for advisors to sort of be able to use it in the right terms?
Sure. You know, we take a little bit different view in that there is only one wellness, right? This is about being healthy. And so we don't handle the dietary and eating portion of health and wellness, and we don't deal with the physical exercise portion of wellness, and et cetera, et cetera. We deal with what is really an impact from a stress standpoint on one's health. And look, you don't have to do too much research or read too many pieces to see things like the American Psychological Association saying that America's number one stressor is money, and that the vast majority, you know, north of 70% of Americans have reported feeling stressed about money just during the past month. And so we feel like if you can provide folks better knowledge, they can be more comfortable with their financial situation, make better decisions about their financial situation, work with their advisor and have a better relationship with their advisor as opposed to sort of being in the dark. So we believe that the financial piece of it is one component of somebody, of an individual being well or healthy. They've got to address that huge portion of their lives that for most folks is a big source of stress, and again can lead to migraines and ulcers and depression and some real serious health effects. So we look at it a little bit differently. We consider wellness as the health of an individual, and that their financial life is a big source of stress and of not being healthy. So we want to address that piece with financial education.
Well, Jeff, thanks. You know, you and I had a little bit of this discussion a few weeks ago when we were talking about doing the podcast sort of at the inception. And I guess my analogy, whether it's, you know, whether it's accurate or not, is that, you know, much like you, there's only one definition, and wellness, you know, is the gym, and financial wellness is the bench press or the treadmill. It's one of those things that you need to sort of put in order to make sure that you're well. I mean, when my business partner Chris and I do enrollment meetings, we always tell people this is the high excitement portion of your day, and we know that it's not. And we also tell them that we know your kids are all healthy, your roof's not leaking, your dog hasn't made a mess in the house while you were away at work, and your car's running well and doesn't need new tires. We know that there's this overabundance of stress on people, largely linked to their financial situations. Is it costing companies money when people are worried about their finances at work? And is there any data to back that up?
Yeah, that's you hit a really, really important nail on the head. And if I was a company, I would certainly be paying attention to this, because that's exactly the case. And again, there are many different studies out there and many different sources, but you know, particularly among millennials currently in their 20s and 30s, the level of stress, and that carries over. They're thinking about their financial lives at work. You know, what you don't want is a stressed out workforce that's making bad business decisions. You know, the George Washington University School of Business's chair of economics and accountancy surveyed something in the order of 5,000 millennials and found simply that the vast majority are, quote, unquote, very concerned about their finances. And financial problems translate into how people work and the results that they deliver. So it is costing, and I mean it being stress and distraction and anxiety around their personal finances, their employees' personal finances, it's costing companies millions and millions of dollars a year.
All right, so let's say that I believe you. Let's say that I believe the PricewaterhouseCoopers study that just came out a few weeks ago. Let's say I believe this economics professor at George Mason University. Let's say I believe the American Psychological Association. Let's say I believe all this. Let's say I've seen it in my daily life as an advisor, working with employees with all educational levels and all different types of jobs. I think I have a misconception, and my misconception is, and you can address me and please correct me if I'm wrong, that only the large companies, 1,000 employees and up, are actually deploying this kind of strategy today because of ROI, because of initial cost, Am I mistaken, or is that the trend in the industry?
Well, I can't say that you're completely mistaken, but I will say that we personally have seen much smaller companies, and sometimes as small as let's just say for round numbers, 10 to 20 employees, have some sort of a financial education effort, and you know, again, aimed at addressing their employees' concerns. We do most of Core Financial Concepts work tends to be with companies that I'll say are in this sort of 25 to several hundred, maybe 500 employees. And I think, you know, here's our perspective, is that it is a wellness program in general. Financial education efforts, financial wellness efforts in general, are transitioning from, hey, this is something that we think will differentiate us in terms of hiring and retaining employees, which is great stuff for companies to be able to do, but they're now starting to understand the point that I'm not getting as much out of the folks I have on my team as I should be and as I could be. And a big part of that is because they are undereducated about and therefore stressed about everything from student debt to spending to I'm thinking about saving for a home to my 401k, my company doesn't match, I shouldn't invest probably then in my 401k, to, you know, on and on. And so it is to sum that up, that point up, it would be a misnomer to think that it's only the large institutions that are pursuing some sort of a wellness effort that involves financial education. And in California, I can almost make a case that, you know, it's been some of the smaller, perhaps more entrepreneurial companies that are leading the way, and the smaller mid-sized companies that where management or ownership tend to have a stronger relationship with their employees, because there's 100 and not 10,000, or there's 50 instead of 5,000. So we see it across companies, and again, in some cases, it's the smaller companies that are leading the way.
Well, Jeff, thanks for bringing that up. You know, on the panel that we held out at the XL 401k conference in Vegas last week or the week before, really, whenever it was, there was an advisor in the room who said that they lost business because they did not provide wellness to a retirement plan client, and they are a full-service shop. So TPA, record keeper, they can do the 338, they can do all the number, all the ERISA nomenclature, but they lost because a competing firm did have a wellness component to it. Secondarily, the advisor who was actually kind enough to be on the panel said that they are winning business over larger, probably more experienced firms because they are adding this in. So let's say we believe the data that stress is not productive for the employee and wellness is important for both the employee and the corporation. I'll cede the point that companies of all shapes and sizes can do something from something very basic to something very elaborate in terms of an overall wellness, financial wellness initiative. It's good for the advisor, not just from a value-add standpoint, but if the participants actually get their hands around their finances, at some point they might be able to invest a more meaningful amount in their retirement. But let me ask you the $65,000 question. Let's say an advisor doesn't have the retirement plan business, because you're not in the retirement plan business. What's the conduit if, in fact, they think they want to offer this as either a separate business venture or a separate line item for them to generate revenue? Or, you know, if they do have it, that's simple. But how does a company, who's the conduit if they want to begin offering this to non-retirement plan clients?
Wow, that's a great question with a lot of pieces there. I think first and foremost, just to take a half a step back, an advisor has to truly believe that this is important, right? They have to say to themselves, this is not just I'm going to bolt on and sort of superficially look like education's important, and I really, you know, here's what I'm really focused on, but I'm going to appear to have this sort of educational component. It's got to be important to them, and I think it's so simple. Clients that are better educated are, among many other things, are and comfortable with their finances, are going to save for retirement. They're going to save in their 401k. I also want to clear something up. We've seen it where folks that become better educated, that have better knowledge, it isn't, in fact, we don't see most of the time, hey, I don't need an advisor. I can go to, you know, fillinblank.com and do this myself, or robo.org and do this myself. Clients that are better educated, that have a better sense of the moving pieces of their overall financial life, can engage better with a financial advisor, right? Can ask the better questions, can appreciate good advice. They have a day job, remember? And so, you know, they have a whole other life. And so for them to be better educated will, we've seen many times, help them appreciate advice and guidance. So I make that point. You know, it's interesting. If an advisor is not already in a company in terms of providing, you know, some component of the 401k plan or other services, we find that most often it's simply someone in the HR department that is our you know, is the conduit that is getting feedback from employees. Whether it's, I mean, they're wearing so many hats. They get tax questions. They get 401k questions. They get questions about student loans. They get questions about, you know, anything to do with individuals' finances. And when asked, we coach those folks, you know, be very, very careful about offering any kind of an answer. One, you can't possibly know everything. And two, if you were to give an answer and something were to go astray, and I mean from an individual standpoint, how easy is it for them to come back and say, you know, Mark in HR or Sally in HR told me I should do this with regard to my taxes or my stock options or in my 401k, or they said I should pick this fund. So they're the conduit, and we try to, with Core Financial Concepts, say our job is to make you look good and to help you be a hero in the eyes of your you know, your constituents, of your employees. So that's from a positioning standpoint. If I'm an advisor and I believe that education is important and I want the folks that I work with to be better educated about their finances, that would be my mentality. If I don't have a relationship with that company, there's a chance for me to be able to work with them on the 401k and the retirement plan. And through better educating those folks and spending the effort around that, quite frankly, they're going to position themselves to win the non-retirement plan advisory business. Chuck, does that somewhat answer the question, or could I go could I tell you more or
No, Jeff, I think that's really good. I think that what advisors, you know, most 401k advisors that I know have been in the financial education employee communication business for a very, very long time. They've just never called it anything. You know, it's been part of their overall service model. You know, when you look at most retirement plan-centric advisors, I'm famous for saying they're servants first and merchants second. And this has always been one of those things they've been able to do because our industry has poured tens of millions of dollars into participant education, tens of millions of dollars into the umbrella of participant communication. And what we've seen is that it really hasn't driven the results that people were looking for. So now that we have a new definition for it, and now that there are some other things you might be able to tie into it, it's sort of one of those contentious things. And I don't want advisors to be upset about it. What I want them to do is embrace the fact that the worst thing you can do is not bring it up to an existing plan sponsor client. And here's why. Three opinions on the panel last year. One was, not sure if we should do it. We kind of have been doing it. If we're being asked to do more, we've got increased scrutiny, more regulation, depression of fees. Should we really be doing this? And the other opinion, which was mine, was, I think all of those are really valid questions, but what happens if you don't do it? what happens if the employee benefits broker, who's now handling what you're calling wellness, smoking cessation, diabetes, you know, walking club, all of those things, also has someone that does retirement plan work? Are you sort of letting the competition kick open the door? So for an advisor who is retirement plan centric only, I think knowing that going in through the HR department is the right way to go. I think the majority of them are very participant centric, or at least they know that's why the plan's there. But you bring up a good point. You're there to make the HR department look good and, quite frankly, take some of the responsibility and work that's off their plate. But my next question, I think, dovetails into sort of what I'm saying about competition. Do advisors, or has Core Financial Concepts benefited from partnering with the other wellness providers, you know, the dietitian, the, you know, certified strength and conditioning coach, not the personal trainer, sort of the CSCS, the professional designations, you know, stress reduction, massage therapy. Have you guys partnered with any of those sort of the allied health professionals of the fitness and nutrition industry, and has that benefited you?
The short answer there is yes. I want to make one quick comment on your last point for advisors out there. You better be playing offense. You better be playing defense. And if you leave that door open, and I saw that in my 20-year career, and we still see it today, if you leave that door open for another advisor to come in and provide one line of service that you're not, boy, oh boy, there's an open door, as Chuck said, for them to get in and start whispering in whatever individual's ear within the company about, hey, we also do this, we also do this, we also do the 401k, et cetera. So defense has to be a focus along with offense. In terms of partnering with other providers, other service providers, I mean, again, the short answer is yes, and it goes back to something that I talked about at the beginning. If you look at one definition of wellness, oftentimes, again, that's the health of the individual, and Core Financial Concepts is handling the financial education component of that and trying to relieve that stress around one's handle, if you will, on their financial life. We have historically gotten asked about, well, gosh, what about these other, the physical component, the diet and exercise component, again, smoking cessation, other specific issues, diabetes, as you've mentioned. So we're fortunate out here that we have found a wonderful firm that provides everything from health and fitness talks over kind of lunch and you know, lunch and learn type situations to if a company wants to have a Pilates class on site, if they want to have yoga on site, if they want to have specific instruction on site, they're able to provide all that. So there's huge power in partnering. It goes without saying that the partner and the quality of that partner and the experience and the education and the criteria, or excuse me, the qualifications, just as I would tell someone if they're looking at a financial advisor, they've got to know about that individual's experience, their education, their credentials, their compensation, right? So in working with a partner, that's the name of the game is quality partner firms that provide complementary services can again help address individuals' complete wellness. So great question, great way of thinking about it.
Jeff, thanks for talking about the offense and the defense. You had a far more eloquent way of saying it than I did, so thank you for bringing that up. You know, I told you we'd only keep you for 20 minutes. We're already at 23. So before I ask you my last question, I want you to let folks know how they can get a hold of you, advisors, or even folks that listen to this that are in the – you're in San Francisco, right?
Yes.
In the Bay Area there. My City by the Bay, one of my favorite Journey songs, because you got to add a little Journey. If I could
Absolutely.
Mix in bacon as well, I would, so I just did bacon. So there it is. How do folks get a hold of you? How do they bounce ideas off you? Website, email, Twitter? What's the best way for them to reach out and see what you're up to and then possibly get in touch with you to sort of refine this sort of condensed version of being fed with a fire hose on financial wellness?
Yeah, thanks for asking, and that's an important point. Happy to brainstorm, happy to answer questions. Look, our website is Core Financial Concepts, all one word, corefinancialconcepts.com. You'll get a sense of who we are and what we're doing there. There's some resources there. My personal email is jeff@corefinancialconcepts.com. And again, happy to provide materials, brainstorm, share thoughts, and those sorts of things. And we're a believer that if we're out there trying to do the right thing, which really is provide folks better knowledge and help them make better decisions around their financial lives, that lots of good things will happen. So, yeah, check out the website or shoot me an email.
All right, so here it is, the million-dollar question, the one that I always hold to the end. In your opinion, because you're not typically a retirement plan-centric or a wealth management advisor. You don't have a broker-dealer, you don't work for the insurance company, you don't have a mutual fund to sell, or you don't keep records. If I'm an advisor, what are my next steps regarding this topic?
That is the $64,000 or the $64 million question. Look, and I can't speak, everyone's practice is different. Everyone's got different initiatives already going on, et cetera, et cetera. But if I consider this notion of wellness, and if I consider, hey, I'm not going to suddenly get in the game of providing dietary and healthy food discussions, and I'm not getting in the business of, get my yoga instructor's license. So what I can do is I can help address it with financial education. I can help drive employee wellness or individual wellness through financial education. I think if that clicks and people say, advisors say, gosh, I do want to do this. This is important to me. As you mentioned, it's an offshoot of what I'm already doing if I'm in the 401k world. I'm already educating folks at the very least on what the funds are and the options are and et cetera around their 401k, so I can expand that. I would do what I did back when. I would start doing some research, and I would say, is this something that I want to take on myself, or how much of it can I take on myself? The other side of that coin is, or do I need to partner with someone, and are there partners out there who are going to be complementary and not have conflicts with what I'm doing in the other lines of my work. So, if I could sum it up, it would be, gosh, do I believe this? Do I believe that wellness is not only a hot topic, but it's real? Do I believe that it's a real need? Do I believe that financial education, it can go a long way to driving employee wellness or individual wellness? And then how am I going to do it? How much of it can I take on myself? Is there someone that I can partner with? And again, you can research, as you mentioned, Pricewaterhouse and the different sources that we cited to see the statistics. So that would be my best piece of advice is, do I believe this? How much of it can I handle myself? Is there sources out there that I can partner with? Where do I go to learn more? And then, go from there to executing and implementing. And that, if it's important to you, if it's important to the advisor, that will come across in the form of sincerity to current clients and prospective clients, and they'll be part of the wellness and financial wellness effort.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much. Sadly, we are out of time, but hopefully we can get you on again soon. So money is America's number one stressor. The data is out there for you to look. Feel free to reach out to jeff@corefinancialconcepts.com. Check out his website, corefinancialconcepts.com. Jeff, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. It was my absolute plum pleasure, and I hope it was enjoyable for you as well. Hopefully we can have you back soon.
It absolutely was, Chuck. I appreciate it very much, and keep on fighting the good fight.
Will do. Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day.
Take care, Chuck.